Welcome to Pleasant Ridge Today, the official podcast of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School in Viroqua, Wisconsin. I'm Robin Kotke.
And I'm David Levin.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Robin.
Spring has sprung. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Oh, it's so beautiful. The sun's shining in. The glaciers are receding from our boulevards.
Yeah. Just in the nick of time. So first we're going to bring you the news, and then be sure to stick around because we will be having an interview with Fede Escobar, who is one of the employees who is leading the compost project over at Growing for Good. We'll be talking with him today.
Great.
Okay, let's talk about what's coming up this week.
Yes.
It's play season at Pleasant Ridge. So the sixth graders just wrapped up the Menachmi twins. Great play. Good job, Mrs. Morse and the sixth grade. And this Saturday is the raffle celebration.
Oh, right.
Right. So from 6 to 8 p.m., we're serving pizza from the mud oven, the outdoor mud oven. It should be a beautiful day. We may have some outdoor games, but we'll definitely have indoor board games and live music and a popcorn pop-off contest. And the prizes will be drawn at 8 p.m. sharp.
We are excited to be there.
We hope to see you there.
Yeah.
The third grade play is coming up next week. Tuesday and Thursday, March 26th through 28th, Book of Ruth. On Friday, March 29th, the spring concert at 6:30 p.m. at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. The second grade play is slated for Wednesday and Thursday, April 3rd and 4th. And then Friday, April 5th, Celebration of the Arts. I missed that last year.
Oh, we're having it this year.
For those of you who don't know what the Celebration of the Arts is, let us tell you. It is the fine faculty of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School, and sometimes friends, will all get together in the old main building and share with you maybe a song or a one-act play or some of the art that they've worked on or some skit. They're always so fun, and this evening is also a fundraiser for professional development for our faculty. This is an adult-only event, and who can forget Ronald Shermer shredding that guitar? Were you there for that?
I was, and I will never forget it.
Oh,
it was so fantastic.
It's a beautiful evening, and it's, you know, the old main building just really lends itself to, it's almost like a small coffee house where, you know, you have live performances, and it's a great way to see our faculty in a different light. And we already know that they're talented, but oftentimes we didn't know about some of these other talents.
Yeah. And I love the silent auction part of that too, where they, you know, different things they've created, some of the chalkboard drawings, some of their, just their own interests off on the side. It really is lovely.
There's always something that Martha Bush has created. I have a lovely print of a cotton plant that Christina Hotchkiss did. Anyway, stay tuned. We'll provide more information. This is definitely something that you don't want to miss. Saturday, April 6th, we'll be having another kindergarten morning. If you have considered sending your little ones to the Pleasant Ridge Kindergarten, this is a sweet opportunity to learn what it's about. You would come with your child and have some time together with the teachers, and then the children will go outside and play, and you can ask questions and just experience what the kindergarten magic is all about. For more information, contact Jordan Brudos, enrollment director in the Pleasant Ridge front office. Saturday, April 6th, clothing swap. It's that time again. We're going to have 10 to 1 p.m. in the school gym, and all are invited. You do not have to bring things to trade. I think that's probably the number one asked question. Well, I don't have anything to bring or to give. That is okay. There is plenty to go around. You can bring the things that your family no longer wears or needs, and pick up things that they do. It's that simple. And it is really helpful to bring items beforehand, and they can be left in the school office. So we do ask that the items that you bring in be in good used condition, no obvious stains or rips or tears. I can't tell you the number of things that we have picked up from that clothing swap, you know, new rain pants or, you know, just a great sweatshirt that is lived in all fall, or, you know, and it's just, it's really fun also to see other children around town wearing things that your little ones once did. And it's just always a great time to meet other folks. This is open to the whole community. And again, that's Saturday, April 6th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the school gym. All are invited. So volunteers are always appreciated for the clothing swap. So if you have interest in helping out, please contact Jordan Brudas in the office. Thursday, April 11th is our Journal Buddies breakfast. Do you know much about this program?
Not at all.
Oh, well, hold on to your hat. This is really exciting. So he's not wearing a hat. It's an expression that I like. So Journal Buddies breakfast. This is kind of the baby, if you will, of Mary Mulvaney Kemp over at the library. And she created a program where children from around the community partner with an adult from the community and read the same book and have conversations about it and write back and forth and have correspondence. So it culminates with a breakfast that is going to be hosted over at our school gym this year. So we're very excited to host all those students. There are going to be quite a few of them. And my understanding is that after that Journal Buddies breakfast, all of the students will go over to the Landmark Center to take in the 8th grade play, Les Miserables, which should be a real treat. Speaking of the 8th grade play, Friday and Saturday, April 12th and 13th, over at the Landmark Center, 6:30 p.m. on Friday and 4 p.m. on Saturday. I don't know if you know this, David, or if the rest of you out there know this, but the Pleasant Ridge costume closet is enormous, and it takes up about half of my office. And so play season has been especially sweet because folks are coming in to choose things and you hear them squeal like, oh, you know, that's perfect. It's just added a whole new dimension to play life. And you know how much we love plays at Pleasant Ridge. So you can imagine this closet. It's amazing. And if ever I'm, you know, feeling kind of down in the dumps, I can go put on a sombrero or a fancy, you know, a fancy princess hat. What are those pointed ones with the, what do they call them with the flowy thing?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what they're called.
Is there a name for them?
I'm sure there is, but you know, if you're ever down in the dumps, it's definitely not a dunce cap. No, it's
because of the tassels. The tassels make it not duncey,
right? And they're just more beautiful than a dunce cap. Yeah. So, and anyway, feel free to stop by, folks, if you need a little pick me up and can take a walk through the closet. Anyway, again, the play should be a great time. Oh, here's a reminder for parents. Winter is over. I didn't need to tell you that, but it is time to return your skates. If you have borrowed skates from the school, please bring them back to the front office so that they will be available for someone else to borrow next year. The 2019 Viroqua Parks and Recreation Department guides are available on the parent library shelf. Parks and Rec always has some really nice options for summertime, so be sure to check that out. Also, Pleasant Ridge will be hosting, I think, our fourth season of summer camps. Jordan, I know, is working really hard on finishing up the list of offerings, and so stay tuned. Those should be available soon, too.
Yeah, it always surprises me because I just don't think this way. How far in advance you need to be thinking about what you want your kids to do for these summer programs.
Sure.
I'm always just like, no, it's too early. But then I realize by the time I get to it, it's way too late.
Right. Right. It'll be available soon. She's been, you know, it does take, you know, quite a amount of time. So thank you, Jordan, for all your hard work on this. Pizza for sale. The seventh grade will be putting on their second pizza sale. The first one, gosh, pizzas were just flying out the door. Order forms can be picked up from any seventh grader in the office or at the seventh grade room door. Orders are due by March 29th with payment. Checks can be written out to PRWS Class of 2020. So there are only going to be 150 pizzas made, so act swiftly if you want to get your pizzas. Pickup will be Friday, April 5th at 2:30 in the gym. Arrangements can be made to pick up during the week as well. Just ask. Thank you for supporting this sale. All proceeds will go to their 8th grade trip. There are a few positions open. Can you imagine yourself beginning each weekday morning or afternoon in our cozy home-like kindergarten, assisting our youngest children on their daily explorations through walks in the community, playtime in the garden, ring time, preparing healthy family-style meals, and maintaining a beautiful environment for children to freely play, sleep, and grow? I kind of want to apply for this job. That sounds delightful. We are currently looking for two warm, loving, mature adults who can picture themselves deepening their understanding of child development and Waldorf education. We are looking for one morning kindergarten assistant whose hours are 7:45 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. The afternoon kindergarten assistant position is from 11:20 to 3:20 p.m., Monday through Friday. If you are an ideal candidate, please contact the front office to apply. Don't you want to apply for that job?
Let me think. I do love kids at that age. I do, but I'm not sure it's a good fit for me personally.
Right. I'm pretty happy in my current role, but it's tempting. You know, one of the nicest things about my office over there in the Landmark Center is I have the kindergarten garden right outside my window. And so it's really delightful to hear the children play. They are just so deep into play, and it's really a perk of the job. I have a little bit of community news. Miss Lori, one of the kindergarten assistants, will be offering childcare in her country home this summer. Please email her at loried2@frontier.net for more information. That's L-O-R-I-D, the number 2, at frontiernet.net for more information. I think that's it for this week.
All right.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Robin. I'm excited for the warm weather to come, and stick around for the interview with Fede about the compost program over Growing for Good.
Sure. I learned so much. I'm excited to sign up myself.
We've been in the program since the beginning, so it's great.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, guys.
See you next week.
Today we have with us Fede Escobar from Growing for Good. He is the project manager of the compost program and does quite a few other things. He's a kind of a plant mover and shaker. Welcome.
Thank you.
Growing for Good is an initiative of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School. For those of you who don't know, it is formerly the Flower Basket, which was a floral shop here in town for many, many years. And they would host our school gardens. And when they were looking to retire, it's just around the corner from the school, and the school bought the property and the business with the idea that this would be a social and economic enterprise for the school. So they are two separate entities, if you will, but we also have gardening classes and still our school garden over at Growing for Good. And so by supporting Growing for Good, you're also helping support the school, but so many other good things, and getting some good soil in return, good feelings in return. We're doing our part as global citizens. It's a win-win-win all around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you want to support the school, you definitely want to support Growing for Good, because it's there for that. But it goes beyond just the school.
Sure.
It's the community, it's the county, it's the planet.
Yes.
So it's kind of, it's multi-layer. But it's there because of the Waldorf School and for the Waldorf School.
Sure. So I should say that it is a social and economic enterprise of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School, but it is also Viroqua's community greenhouse.
Exactly. Yes.
Tell us about the compost program.
So the compost program started over a year ago. I think it was the end of 2017. I wasn't working at Growing for Good then. Ed and Angie Lamar started this program. Maybe you know them. I don't know.
I sure do. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So Angie works in the waste management industry and parent at the Waldorf School, and they thought it was a great idea to start a project like this. So it's over a year. It's more than a year old. They started bringing a few households and one restaurant and a roastery, Kickapoo Roastery, and the Kickapoo Cafe were kind of the business initiators and then a few households. That's kind of the first stage of the project, the pilot, we call it, trying it out, the stage. And we were doing the compost at one of our greenhouses, turning it by hand, and very handcraft, very craft compost, small scale, and yeah. And it was fun and great, but we thought maybe to have more impact, it would be great to scale up. And that's where we are now.
Sure.
So to go more to the essence of the compost project, to answer your question, what it is, and it's basically the next step to recycling in waste management. Or for some people it has to happen at the same time. Basically, not getting any food waste, organic decomposable waste into the landfill, because the conditions in the landfill generally are anaerobic.
Sure.
There's a lot of methane emissions and has like 30 times more greenhouse effect than CO2. There's a host of different reasons. One is also to recycle, close the food cycle, and really take advantage of the value of this rotten material that can go back to the soil and add fertility and add life to our soils in the region, in our gardens, in our farms. So that's one big pillar. So it's closing the cycles because it makes sense, it's economical, and it's environmental.
And it's useful to help grow the next circle of...
Yeah. If we don't recycle this, we'll have to bring it from somewhere else or buy it from somewhere else. Viroqua is such a food conscientious place. This area is kind of... is one of the leaders in the country. So people really understand where food needs to come from. It's not just about the item itself, the piece of food, but what is the process behind it. And this is just, is again, the next step is after I consume it, whatever is left, what's after? So before is really well established here, but after, what's happening? It goes in terms of reducing food waste, kind of channel better the like different projects like Community Hunger Solution, for example. They go and act in that after, like, can we feed more people with food that is being wasted? And also we will be working with whatever is not possible to use for feeding other people, but what really is really rotten and can't feed anybody. So that, what do we do with that? How do we get value from this? How do we create richness, profitability, and abundance to our community with that waste that we have in the concept of waste? So it's about creating value in unseen, you know, potential.
Sure. So we started composting when we moved here. We didn't do much of that when we lived in the big city. Mm. And I've learned some things about composting in the process. One of them is that we don't want to throw our meat away because that can create all kinds of problems. Stephen and I also have an argument about eggshells. And at one point he said, do you think we should just get separate compost bins? And I said, well, for heaven's sakes, no. Maybe we should just go to Growing for Good. But we're not participating yet. And so if we were to participate, we would get a green bucket, I understand.
Yes.
And we would put it out on our curb and you all would come around and pick it up.
Yes.
And then add it and cultivate it until it becomes soil again.
Exactly.
And then that's nice. And we do that on a small scale on our own. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes we have... simply too much. What are the benefits of sending it out rather than doing it ourselves?
So there's different kind of branches for this to join, different arguments, because someone might think like, why do I have to pay or why should I pay if I can just compost it in the backyard? So that's fair enough. That tackles the service. Someone might not need the service, right? So maybe someone that needs the service is someone that lives in an apartment and really doesn't want to throw this waste into the trash. So that this is where we come to. We offer this service. Then somebody else might be interested in getting the quality product, the compost, back, because we do give back. We're going to be giving back compost to the accounts.
Oh, I see. So it would be cultivated by Growing for Good. Yeah. And then when it's time for us to work on our garden, then we would be getting that returned instead of, you know, hand. Because truth be told, our compost bin has been, you know, neglected, and it takes time. And that was part of the reason that Stephen didn't want me to be putting all of the eggshells and, you know, different things in, because he would get grumpy about, because he is also the person who's doing the churning and, you know, and whatnot. And I would want to put all of the yard waste, and he would say, oh no, it's got to have, you know, this, there's a science behind this, and there are, you know, all of these. And I just didn't have patience for that or time for that. So I think you just found yourself a new customer.
Great. The process of developing a good quality compost is not easy, and we're also figuring it out. Like, now that we're bringing the waste to a farm, and we have the farm is debruted, we're collaborating with them. They have a tractor and a bucket. Then more ideal optimal systems have window turners. So you want to get, like, this is talking about hot compost, because there's different ways of doing compost, but many industrial facilities go for hot temperatures to kill pathogens and really degrade faster and get the compost faster. So we are still figuring it out with the machinery that we have. So, but yeah, eventually we'll get a nice product to give back to our customers, farms, and sell. So this will create jobs. We're going to have an industrial compost facility and a bunch of people working there. And again, this is value that stays here in this county. So I mentioned the service, now the product. But for me, one of the most important things for people to support this program would be to support the mission. Sure. Because I haven't mentioned this, but yes, we are working with compost. We want to recycle this. But really, we want to have a big impact. The vision and the mission is big, to have Vernon County with minimal organic waste, with minimal food waste that goes into the landfill.
Sure.
It feels nice to have 10 accounts or 10 households, but tons and tons of food waste still go into the landfill. So we're really not having a real impact and difference. So the goal would be to work with many restaurants, with industries. Every single house in Viroqua would have a bucket like this.
Sure.
So that's what I'm thinking.
That you would put out with your recycling.
Yes,
but interestingly, I have been reading a lot about the recycling industry and how nowadays China is not accepting a lot of our waste and our recycling waste. And so we're seeing so much more of that going into our landfills. Yeah. I read that's not true only about plastics, but also cans, you know, our LaCroix cans. Oh, we use so many of those. So we're going to be seeing more of that in our landfills. And so if we could keep the food waste out, it's not just a matter of space. But I was also just reading on this great flyer that you put together about what happens to food waste in that anaerobic environment, that it creates a methane gas that contributes to greenhouse.
Greenhouse
effect. I guess.
Huge effect.
Sure. So there are many reasons why. I mean,
yeah. So economically, we can maybe separate it into two. Mm-hmm. What we're gonna create, the money that is gonna be created by using this resource, and then what we're gonna save by not putting this resource, taking other resources like space in the landfill.
Sure.
The landfill of Vernon County has a very short lifespan right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen the documentary Lessons from a Landfill.
No.
I recommend it.
Okay.
It's maybe late 90s or early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the landfill, mostly about recycles. the whole China not taking the waste didn't happen then. They didn't talk much, they don't talk about organic waste, but they do talk about what is a landfill, how it's made. And in that documentary, they talk that 2019 is the last year of this landfill. And when I watched it before, I met with the manager of the landfill the other day because I wanted to be in communication with them and collect data. So when I watched, I was like, okay, this is this year. What's going to happen? But then when I talked to the people at the landfill, they said they applied for an extension, a vertical extension.
Sure.
For four or five more years. But still, what's going to happen after that? There's an application going on. It's really expensive and it's really difficult to get new landfill permits.
Sure.
So space in a landfill, it's an important resource. Ideally, we wouldn't have anything to throw in the landfill, right?
Sure.
And everything would be recycled and reused. But this is not the reality right now. We really want the landfill to last as long as possible and to pollute as least as possible.
Sure. So 20% of landfill waste is food.
According to the APA.
Sure.
Yeah, so it might vary depending on where.
But that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And that has a lot of liquid. Generally, food waste mm-hmm. is a lot of liquid. And that liquid goes to the bottom of the landfill. Since the early 90s, landfills need to be built with a liner, with a layer of clay and then a liner and then pipes to avoid leaking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been seen that those fail.
That's leaching into our soil.
Yeah. The leach, that's a really nasty liquid.
Right.
That is super concentrated in, well, many things because everything goes in the landfill.
Right.
So that, it's an incredibly hazardous potential contaminant.
Sure.
And we are in a very sensitive geologically area,
sure.
like karstic. So it's. I mean, we want to not have any of that leachate. Right now, that leachate is pumped and to trucks and then sent to wastewater treatment plants.
Mm-hmm.
And the county pays according to the amount and also concentration.
Right.
So reducing food waste from the landfill will decrease the concentration of that leachate.
Right.
So it's going to be cheaper for mm-hmm. the county to not have food there in terms of how much the landfill lasts, but also how much the landfill pays treating that leachate. So that's one thing. But the other thing is like we're producing a product, we're creating industry, and we're creating jobs. So that's kind of the economical aspects. And then we have the environmental, like protecting the water,
sure.
reducing methane, and then regenerating soil. And by improving fertility, we capture carbon.
Sure.
So we tackle also greenhouse effect by reducing methane emissions, but also by enhancing the capacity of the soil to capture that carbon. So it's two ways also. So it's big. It's big. Like to throw food waste in the landfill, it has so many implications. So again, going back to why would someone join this program? As I said, the service is one. Mm-hmm. Someone that maybe is not thinking too much about this, but just doesn't want to deal with it. And okay, we are here. We bring you the clean bucket. You know, it's as simple as that. It's a service. Then the potential product, the future product that you're going to get. But again, for me, the mission, you know, supporting that the area becomes, you know, a spearhead in Wisconsin in terms of these kind of issues. An example for mm-hmm. rural Wisconsin, as it already is.
Sure.
But closing the cycle for this, I think it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally see people that do their own compost, but join the program still. It's like if you
sure.
support Amnesty International or any organization that you support their work, you can just support us because we're doing this kind of work.
Sure. Well, and I think about the size of our compost bucket, and I think that's why Stephen gets so frustrated because I just want to throw all the things in there. And there's just not enough room. So we certainly generate, you know, from our own garden waste and things like that. And, you know, and you just have more time to garden too. So I can definitely see the value. I've seen these green buckets around town. We certainly use them in the kitchen at Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School. Every week we're filling up those buckets with food waste from our lunch program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I go collect them myself.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the everything person now at this stage. But as it grows, we might need to hire more people.
Sure.
And yeah.
So if I want to sign up, I sign up with you. And
yes.
There are a couple of different options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's two main options, which is we can come to your house and pick up the bucket, or you can bring your bucket to Growing for Good.
Okay.
So within the pickup, there's two options, weekly or biweekly. So weekly costs $25 a month, mm-hmm. and biweekly $15. And if you bring the bucket, every time you bring a bucket to Growing for Good, it's $5. So if you think about it, the weekly pickup, if you produce four buckets a month, more or less, so that's $20. If sure. you did the drop off, would you just pay $5 more to get it picked up?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's convenient. It's not too much for the convenience of having it be picked up. To sign up, you can go to growingforgood.org and go to the compost tab or page. And at the bottom of that, there's a form that you can fill out.
Sure, and I could just pay online.
And then once you have your email, we'll set you up with a payment through our business manager,
okay.
Stephanie. Yeah, yeah. And more and more businesses are wanting to be involved and more people. And we're going to be at the farmer's market with a table talking about this, because
sure.
we're now in phase two of the project, and phase two is about scaling up. But in order to do that, we need to do an outreach education campaign. Mm-hmm. So more interviews like this, just like talking to people about it, knocking on doors.
Sure. I know that you had a meeting with Quillen's recently.
This morning. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're great. They really want to brand themselves as sustainable, and Gary Thompson, who's a friend now, he's working there, and he's awesome. He really wants them to go into, you know, reducing plastic, taking care of the organic waste. So yeah, it's great.
So help me understand how this works. I'm thinking about this transactionally, if you will. So if I come to Growing for Good and drop off my compost bucket, do I get to walk away with a bucket of soil? That doesn't work that way, does it?
Not exactly, no. So in the composition process, in the composting process, the volume decreases quite a bit. A lot of that carbon is released in form of CO2.
Sure.
But there's a lot that stays, and a lot of the other nutrients. So volume-wise, is less.
Maple syrup.
Yeah, maybe not so much, because I think maple syrup is like 30, 40 gallons of sap to a gallon of syrup. And here would be, depending on the process also.
Sure.
But maybe like a third or a fifth. So that part, that's the back end of the process. We are still working on optimizing, and since we're now in a new location, we're figuring it out, the process itself of producing a marketable compost that complies with all the regulations, all the organoleptic qualities, all the chemical tests, that there's no pathogens. So in order to do that, you really have to nail down a nice process, and it's machinery dependent. So what we have now is some that we've been doing it by hand, like just turning it with pitchforks, mm-hmm. and we haven't sent to any lab or anything. And it's in one of our greenhouses that just collapsed because of the snow. So we've been meaning to get that out, and we want to get that out soon to the accounts from the pilot stage, the 10 or something accounts, what we've been doing last year. We've been like flooded with snow and ice, and then with the greenhouse collapsing, it's kind of slowed down that process. But our goal is to get all that compost back to the accounts that have been helping us. And maybe the commercial accounts, I don't know if the restaurant would want it or donate it. We have the option of getting it for you or also donate it to community gardens or farms. Yeah, so we're working on that. It's very rudimentary right now by hand, especially sifting is very, very slow process. So generally at bigger scale, you have big machines that's super efficient. So we have some volunteers. We have a slow, inefficient process. And also the compost, we didn't do machine, but you see some little pieces of eggshells, which are good for the soil, but it doesn't look like what you buy from the store. But it will look like that as we develop the technology of this. This first scale, this first pilot stage is just going to be a little bit more rudimentary, like baby steps. But we're going to get that back to the people. Right now, we haven't done it. We haven't marketed that idea too much of the product because I've been reluctant to promise things that we can't deliver. Where is it going to happen? Then we got this collaboration with this farm. And then we're going to need to have grants and invest a lot of money in machinery, have like a very serious business plan. We're going to grow into that. It's going to take some years. But that's the determination. We're determined to get there. So, we're going to be giving back compost to the people. We haven't actually worked too much on the message of that. Because, and just to be honest and just for complete transparency, we haven't nailed that down completely. But we will. We're going to be going to trainings and courses and learning from our own experience.
So this has been being developed slowly, very intentionally. It's being done in phases. But what a great thing to be a part of. And we all can get on board too and be a part of that, because it sounds like, you know, where we're headed is a really good place to really provide a really valuable service, not just for our own gardens and our own community, but really the world.
Totally. I mean, yes, it has, as I said before, like it has many layers. So things that if we reduce the methane emissions here, it's going to impact not just this county, right? It's
going
to impact, this goes to the atmosphere. So it eventually impacts the rest of the world.
And it's providing a model too for others who want to do, you know, something similar in their own community.
Definitely. And I totally see the potential of Viroqua leading the way in rural Midwest for these kind of projects. Because if it can happen somewhere, it can happen in Viroqua, I think. Yeah, it can really, it's a model in many different aspects. So this is just going to be another one.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wanted to say also that one of my ideas of my thoughts with this is, working at the individual level, at the organizational level, but also at the administration level. This is a really big mission. This is a really big vision. So I'm already talking to people at the county level or city level and try to make them feel the responsibility of this as administrators. It's not like, oh, I can just look somewhere else and then somebody will take care of it. Because I believe that once they really feel that, you know, and once they jump on board, then it might be the whole Viroqua, 5,000 people getting their food collected. Or maybe the ones that don't want to do it in their backyard, right? Then the scalability of it could really have a tremendous impact, because we're going to need help in that respect for grants or, you know, financial, logistical help. This little greenhouse in town has this big mission, but we're not going to make it by ourselves.
No.
And this immigrant right here has good intentions, but this mission has to be owned also by the authorities and by the individuals. But sure. That's the goal of this phase, building that culture, putting that idea in people's minds and hearts, so that then we can walk forward.
Well, this is exciting. And you can count me in, and I'll talk to my friends about it too.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Thank you.